Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is your sauna of hot, steaming hot free speech. Is that good enough? Yes, it is. It's a sauna. You can come in, you can relax, you can get sweaty, and just sweat out all of the things that you need to say and hear, because it's free speech land. And you don't need a t-shirt because it's in the sauna. You don't wear t-shirts in the sauna. But you can have a t-shirt for the outside if you donate $100. But go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button. And if it's $100 or more, they will send you a really nifty. I heard Mike Rivera refer to it as nifty, and I believe him because he has a good show. And he said it was a nifty t-shirt. And so do that. And it's free speech. It's a free speech t-shirt. Then also go to nationalbugle.com, download the Co-Certified app. A lot of great things coming from there. We'll be talking about that. I talked about that a lot last week as well. But today is Wednesday, and I'm with Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to part two of the Patrick and Jeremy dynamic duo, the two-for-one Tuesday night spectacular.
Wow, holy free speech in the sauna, Batman. Does free speech get a massage after that?
I don't know. I do this at the beginning of every show, and I never know what's going to come out. And sometimes it comes out better than other times. Once I had Mark Collett on, and I was talking about something, and I said they were trying to choke free speech like a chicken, and he started laughing. And I realized, okay, maybe I should script these things ahead of time.
Oh, bloody hell, Patrick. You can't talk about choking chickens on the show.
All right. So, but I'm not, we're not, we don't have to do a rerun, but in the first segment of the Tuesday night In Plain Sight show, we went into a lot of detail about the dangers of chlamydia. And fake President Biden obviously losing it. He's not going to last long. He's not going to last 4 years. He might not last 4 months. And my suggestion was trying to, look how fast things turned for Andrew Cuomo, where he was the big star a year ago, and now he's being Me Too'd out of office. And I don't have the goods on chlamydia in terms of Me Too-ing, because I test clean, so I don't think I've got it. But I'm referring to that Donna Summer concert. But at any rate, she is vulnerable with the Jesse Smollett thing, and so we're not going to repeat all the details. But it's plausible that she was a co-conspirator with Jesse Smollett in that hoax racist lynching, noose lynching attack, because she wanted to get a lot of publicity so that her anti-lynching legislation, her signature anti-lynching legislation a couple of years ago, would pass. And so that's a theory. But anyway, I'm putting that out there. But we got to do something about this chlamydia problem. Do you have anything to say about that before we move on?
Well, you know, we've got this black former general that they've hired to combat white nationalist terrorism, and I don't think we're getting rid of that guy anytime soon. He's like a general from Wakanda, I believe. Newly confirmed Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
Well, okay, so there's two generals. So we got Lloyd Austin, and I think somebody was mixing him up with the person that Nancy Pelosi hired, who was also a retired general, and his name slips my mind. But the person that Nancy Pelosi hired to review the Capitol police force is not the defense secretary. So there are two different black generals here.
Well, we got two Wakandans that have vowed to eliminate white supremacy in America, and white supremacy means anybody that supported Trump, basically, that loves America and don't want trannies to read to their children in the library.
Yeah, the other general's name is, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's like Honore, it's like honor, the word honor with an E at the end. And I don't know how it's pronounced. And I can't remember his first name, but whereas the defense secretary is, his last name is Austin. I forgot the first name.
And yeah, Lloyd Austin.
Joe Biden forgot both names, by the way. That's how close Joe Biden is.
He's just referring to the Pentagon as that one place, that five-star place. We don't know.
Over there.
Over there somewhere.
The thing, you know, the thing.
But white supremacy is,
you know, the thing.
White supremacy is prevalent in America, even in our grocery stores. I mean, that's what I'm reading here.
Yeah. Oh, white supremacy, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Reuters, breaking news, breaking reviews. White supremacy dies hard on the grocery shelf, and this is talking about canceling out. You know, they've canceled out Aunt Jemima and the Indian on the butter, you know, Lando Lakes.
Okay. Lando Lakes.
Yeah, the Indian's not there anymore. I thought she was pretty hot for Indian squaw. But at any rate, I buy sweet cream butter. I don't buy the margarine crap that clogs up your system. And, you know, you can't get the Indian on the butter anymore on Lando Lakes. Neither can you get Aunt Jemima or Uncle Ben. Because that sounds too much like Uncle Tom, I guess.
Well, Uncle Ben, wasn't he the Secretary of what was he? Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Uncle Ben?
Yeah, totally base Ben Carson. He can totally do brain surgeries. Don't let that skin color fool you. Totally not an affirmative action hire by any means.
Yeah, I have no comment about that. I know he botched a couple, but I don't know.
But in the Reuters article in New Orleans last June, as America erupted in protest, it erupted and it corrupted in protest over racial injustice and police violence, two companies roughly 1,200 miles apart decided it was time to rethink brands with white supremacist roots. One was an iconic craft beer maker in the Deep South. That would be Dixie. And the other was a $60 billion consumer goods conglomerate with a marketing budget in the billions of dollars and a string of awards for its commitment to diversity and ethical business. Guess which one changed first? Well, that would be the Dixie Brewery. Dixie Brewery. It's over 100 years old in New Orleans, and it is a based maker of suds. So the social justice movement gathered pace in 2020. Owner Gail Benson noted mounting discomfort over the brand's associations in the majority black city of New Orleans. And in June, she decided that a name associated with pro-slavery Confederate troops of the American Civil War had to go. So from March 26th, Dixie becomes Faubourg Brewing, borrowing the old French word for New Orleans suburb. Basically they're changing this Dixie brewery, and they're changing Uncle Ben. That would be owned by Pepsi. I didn't know that. Did you know Pepsi owned Uncle Ben? Uncle Ben's Rice?
PepsiCo. I didn't know they owned Uncle Ben's Rice. I know they used to own Pizza Hut. I don't know if they still do. It's a conglomerate. They own Frito-Lay, and they used to own Wilson's Sporting Goods, but they probably divested of that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the social changes, even on the grocery shelves, that are coming to us. And I think it's a harbinger of just destroying whites in general, because as they destroyed our monuments to the Southern heroes, and not even Southern heroes of the Civil War, they're even going after George Washington and Abraham Lincoln himself, old Honest Abe. Mm-hmm. As these icons come down, that is a harbinger of what they want to do to the population. And it's been made very clear through the anti-white legislation painting all of the Trump supporters, especially the ones that protested the election fraud, as white supremacist terrorists. So this is what we got to look forward to in the coming year. And to bring it all back full circle, with the contraction of chlamydia, as the as Joe the prophylactic is dissolved, we're going to see outbreaks of attacks on white supremacy even more prevalent. And by white supremacy, I mean regular white Americans that supported Trump.
Sure. Before we leave the supermarket aisle, when I was in Hong Kong in the 1980s, there was a brand of toothpaste, and it was called Darkie. And the Darkie logo was a picture of a drawing picture of a black guy in a tuxedo smiling, and you could see his big white teeth through his exaggerated lips and very dark skin, and it was called Darkie. And I was a little bit surprised, but then maybe 15, 20 years later, I read somewhere that it had been renamed. They used the same image. They continued to use the same image, but they changed the name Darkie to Darlie. They just changed the R to the K to an L. I just moved it over one letter. And I guess that was good enough for the Chinese.
PepsiCo and Mars, also with Colgate and Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's, you know, all that's changing too. So it's going to be called Ben's Original instead of Uncle Ben's, and it's not going to feature our favorite Uncle Ben blackface on there.
But, you know, these identities, brand names, logos, things like that, they actually have a value. And, you know, when Trump was saying that he was worth $6 billion before his 2016 election, something like $2 billion of that was the what he considered the value of his logo. And so when an iconic brand like Aunt Jemima, when they jettison that name Aunt Jemima, and when they jettison the logo, that's a sacrifice. And you wonder what about the shareholders there, right? I mean, because if you're used to buying Aunt Jemima's and you haven't read the latest news, and then all of a sudden you don't see your Aunt Jemima anymore, okay, well, I'll just go get Log Cabin syrup.
Yeah.
Right? They're not gonna know it's the same thing as Aunt Jemima.
I haven't read any newsprint on the shareholders and how they're handling that, but that's a very good point. These shareholders, obviously, I guess, were briefed on this. And they're
most aren't, though.
Well, they're going to be willing to take the loss because, as we found out, the Jewish-dominated elite, they don't mind taking financial losses in the name of social justice, because that, for some reason, is more important to them than losing money.
Well, here's one other thing having to do with the COVID, where they're just shutting everything down. So if you own shares every year, you get invited to the general shareholders meeting. And of course, they tend to be spread out. I've only gone to one in the past, but you go to one, and there is after the presentations are made, there's a question and answer period. And you don't necessarily get your question answered, but I went to one at a major bank, and about half the people who were trying to ask questions got to ask a question. And of course, now everything is by Zoom, and so I haven't tried to attend a Zoom meeting, but it makes it a lot easier to attend. But with all that what goes along with it being easy to attend is you got to compete with so many more people to get a question asked, and it would be a lot easier to shut you down. I had been talking with Patrick Little before all this started. And because he would be the perfect person to go to a general shareholders meeting and stand up and ask a question about, well, you know, why are you selling military equipment to Israel, or why is your food kosher certified, Or something even more interesting, because he's a brave Marine. But unfortunately, that's not an option anymore, because they don't have general shareholders meetings that you can attend any longer.
Yeah, and you can easily be overridden on Zoom. I mean, they can just mute you out, I guess.
Mute you in a second in a way that they couldn't do in person.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're a brave Marine who is willing to fly a blimp over San Francisco Harbor saying, Jews, what was it? Jews kill children or something like that? Jews rape children? I think that was what he had on his blimp.
Based. But
I don't know how accurate, but it was brave. I'm just talking about sheer bravery.
And all of these shareholders from these companies, I mean, they obviously, they either went along with the lockdowns last year or they were just potted down and weren't allowed to protest. And you get to figure a lot of shareholders probably lost a lot of money in certain businesses when the lockdowns hit.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I think in general, I mean, obviously the non-share issuing small businesses, they took the biggest hit. But yeah, there were certainly winners and losers as a result of this, and some of the losers were share issuing companies.
Yeah. Well, we had a little pushback in Kentucky. I don't know if you want to seg you over. Andy Beshear is getting sued by local breweries and restaurants. Did you get a chance to look at that one?
No. Why don't you introduce it?
All right. Well, let me get back to the prep here. Let me give you the basics of it. Is that, Beshear is our governor, our Democratic governor in Kentucky. We still don't know how he won, because the entire state is red and went pro-Trump in both elections. But Beshear was primarily elected in bigger cities like Louisville, Lexington, and Frankfurt, where you have large black populations, especially in Louisville. But Beshear is getting sued by local businesses, and the suit is basically, it's based on three pieces of legislature that were introduced in Kentucky that curbs Andy Beshear's power during an epidemic that will not allow him to close businesses down. So the headline is from lex18.com, and it says, group of pubs, restaurants, the latest to sue Governor Andy Beshear. From Georgetown, Kentucky, a group of pubs and restaurants in Kentucky have sued Andy Beshear over his COVID-19 emergency orders. So among those are the Goodwood Brewing Company, which operates locations in Lexington, Frankfort, and Louisville, Georgetown's Trendy Restaurant, and Louisville's Dundee Tavern, filed the lawsuit in a Scott County Circuit Court on Monday. The lawsuit calls for the governor to be barred from issuing new coronavirus-related orders in accordance with three bills that passed through the Kentucky legislature this session. Those bills are House Bill 1, Senate Bill 1, and Senate Bill 2. Governor Beshear is currently contesting those bills. And unfortunately, the Kentucky State Supreme Court has sided with Beshear on all of his contesting lawsuits. But they're seeking a temporary and permanent injunctions to bar current and new orders in suit.
Okay.
What you got?
We are up on the break, so let's talk about the update.
A life of danger to everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Bashir, you got the legislature that is trying to rein in his emergency powers. The state Supreme Court seems to be siding with Bashir.
But everyone else in Kentucky, all the lower level judges and the legislature itself, is fighting Bashir. It says they're seeking, and I read that already, temporary and permanent injunctions to bar him from issuing new orders. To shut down these small businesses, breweries, restaurants, and the like. The Pacific Legal Foundation represents them, which is nonprofit. It says that we are not seeking anything more than for the governor to follow the law as it has already been written by the General Assembly. And that's according to attorney Oliver Dunford.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dunford believes that Bashir's order expired after these new bills passed. So our legislature, represented by our Commonwealth of over 5 million people, said, no, you cannot close these businesses down. You cannot do it. And Bashir is contesting that. I mean, he's pushing back on it. I think this is good. You know, this is a microcosm of what's happening on a national level. You know, you have the state legislatures pushing back against this governor, against his unconstitutional COVID restrictions. And, you know, you see this happening all over the country where entire states are pushing back against the federal government, against unconstitutional Second Amendment limitations, as well as COVID lockdowns. So this is the type of annulment that we've been talking about.
Yeah, nullification. So I have a question for you, and this ties into the whole chlamydia issue. Let's just say Biden steps aside, resigns, you know, is pushed out, whatever, and you got a president chlamydia that nobody ever liked. And, you know, it's bad enough that you had a fake election, but you have a to have a fake election for a Trojan horse candidate, and then you have chlamydia pop out. Let's just say, I mean, will she get a honeymoon? Will she have any popularity? If you had a, let's just say you had a very unpopular or at least a very divisive chlamydia, does that make it easier or more likely for these nullification and perhaps even succession movements to develop?
Very good question. I think you're going to see these nullification, the developments happen at a rapid rate if chlamydia does, if we do contract chlamydia. And, you know, whereas you see in Kentucky, they're fighting, the legislators fighting against the government, the governor, you're going to see entire states, municipalities, counties fight the chlamydia, what's the word, presidency? Fake presidency?
Infection, I think is the word.
Infection. They're going to fight the infection even harder with their own penicillin in the form of, you know, local legislation that says we're going to follow the Constitution. We don't care what the federal government says. Yeah, very good point. I think it's going to intensify. And I don't know that the elites, the Jewish-dominated elites, have an answer for this. I don't know if they know where to go from here. Because if it's not going to be enforced on the county and municipality level, like how do they have any power?
And getting back to the Soviet Union, because I keep going back there 30 years ago, this is what you saw in the last couple of years. Initially, you saw some of these republics, independence-minded republics, like Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, who were resisting enforcing central government edicts. And then it just became it wasn't just the independence-minded republics, but you know, it would be towns and cities, and the power of the ability of the central government to enforce itself, or you were just getting the local governments had been used for tax collection. They stopped sending their tax money to the central government. So that's what you started getting, and that could be what we see. Where and then what happens when the government orders something and it doesn't get enforced? You start to get things snowball, because it makes the government, the central government, seem impotent, and then it emboldens others to reject, to nullify, and ultimately, if following the Soviet model, even succeed.
Well, here's a question for you. In that scenario that you're painting, if we're following that course, will you eventually see the collapse of the federal government and a more based leader like Putin emerge in the U.S.? That's a question.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can count on it. Like, to me, Putin might have been a fluke, because Putin didn't emerge as a base leader. Putin emerged as a potential savior for the Jewish oligarchy, but he turned against them. And I don't know if you could count on that lightning striking twice. But
that almost happened with Trump. It almost did.
Yeah. And there's a but. We'll get to that on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. What was the butt? So what would have happened if Putin had not come along and saved things for the Jewish oligarchs, even though he, in pretty short order, turned against them? What would have happened? You would have had Gennady Zyuganov elected as president. He was elected in 1996, but the election was stolen from him. It was a fake election, and Yeltsin stole it. Gennady Zyuganov was the head of the Communist Party of Russia. But the Communist Party of Russia, Gennady Zyuganov, was based. And he said, if Jews want to live in Russia, they can be, as long as they're going to act Russian. But if they're not going to act Russian, they should just get the hell out. And he had won the election in 1996, and he was poised to win it in 2000. And the only reason he didn't win it is because Putin came in. He was parachuted in to save the Russian the Jewish oligarchy from the massive unpopularity of Boris Yeltsin, and then he got the country to rally around the flag of a tough stand against Muslim Chechen terrorism. And some people think it was false flag. It could have been. I don't know. But He with that popular support he got from the rallying around the flag, he was able to use that popular support as you know, a base where he could attack the Jewish oligarchs from. The key was that one way or another, you were going to have a populist nationalist take over, and maybe Putin can't strike twice. But if Putin hadn't struck, you would have had a different populist leader take over. It would have been Gennady Zhuganov.
Well, you do have history repeating itself time and time again. If you look at the 30,000 foot view, and you know, populism does tend to win the day a lot of times. Sometimes it's short-lived, like in Germany of the 1930s. But at any rate, what I wanted to make a point of is that, you know, Putin had, as a KGB head, had the full support and knowledge of how the military worked, and that's the key. I mean, whoever has the power, I mean, that's truly the power, right? And so Putin, not only financially, but politically and militarily, had an upper hand when he did decide to turn on the Jewish oligarchs. And so, but he came in as someone who was perceived as being controlled, and maybe he was controlled, and he found an opportunistic angle. Similarly in America, whoever rises up to take this place over to do us some good is going to have to be someone whom the establishment perceives as controlled, whom they perceive as someone that they can manipulate, who actually does have power and could turn on them. I mean, if we're going to go by that model, I don't know. Give me your thoughts on that, and then I got another couple of points.
So yeah, if you look around, Putin looks to me like he was just a giant mistake and a giant accident on behalf of the Jewish oligarchy in Russia. You look at somebody like, let's just say, Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, who's a populist leader, but he's a populist leader. He does a lot more than pay lip service to Zionism. He's pretty enthusiastically Zionist in terms of foreign policy being pro-Israel. But then on the other hand, talking about the corona apocalypse just in the past week, he said he's just so sick of all this whining. Why don't they stop their whining? And, you know, a few months ago, he referred to it as F-A-G word bull honk. I don't know how you say that in Portuguese. But so he would be the type of person you're talking about, somebody who would come up with at least a certain amount of acquiescence of the system. Whereas I think Putin was just a mistake. He did come up through the system, but he was a miscalculation. Who knows? Is there anybody in public life that you could see as somebody who would rise up and be our leader?
I mean, Trump was pretty much it at this point. And, you know, I think that Trump was just a 1980s Democrat that, if you go back and look at all the interviews back on Oprah in the 80s and any interview you ever saw about Trump, I mean, he always said, if it got really bad, I would run. And I think that Trump already had Jewish banker hooks in him. He didn't realize how deep those hooks were. And when he decided to stand up and push against the system, they pulled on those hooks really, really hard. And we end up with the scenario we have today, where they're able to force him out of office. So, you know, Trump was just an outsider businessman that thought he could do some good for the country that made him a lot of money. And it ended up being much too powerful for him. Whereas, you know, Putin was someone who they just thought they could control. But Putin actually had access to power and he used it. So, you know, what leader in the future would get us out of this? I don't know. But I do want to make a couple of commentaries on Putin and in regards to the Fash the Nation podcast, as some of our listeners do catch that podcast. They're coming a long way. They're not pushing the COVID hoax, but, you know, they're still going with the angle that Russia and Putin is controlled. And they actually made the statement that, you know, the Jewish power is allowing Assad in power as a placeholder. I just can't buy that. I mean, at the end of the day, all of the Jews, left and right, want Assad out of power.
Yeah, as a placeholder for what?
For someone else that they'll install? I don't know. I mean, if they wanted to install a better placeholder, they would just do it. But at the end of the day, you know, ISIS and Israel wanted Assad out of power. They would have gotten that with a Hildebeest presidency. or a Jeb Bush presidency. Either one of those would have taken Assad out very handily. But with Trump holding back, that allowed Russia the room to keep Assad in power, and Assad in power is what the Jews don't want. And Fascist the Nation pushes back against this, but I don't really think they have a solid argument. Assad is still in power. Syria is not where the Jews want them to be in regards to the overall Greater Israel plan. Trump was a wrench in the works, and so was Russia. And I just don't see how you can say that Russia and Putin is totally controlled. Putin most definitely dances with Jewish power. But when you go fully against it, you get the Adolf Hitler treatment. So that's a lesson to be learned in history. And I think it's a lesson that Putin not only learned, but implemented in his policies. So at the end of the day, Russia is still a great nation that does things that's good for their people, and they've protected Assad. So I just don't see that narrative of Assad being allowed in power as a placeholder. You know,
I heard some of Fascist the Nation last week, and I don't listen all that often because honestly, I'd rather listen to Farron Schoaf if I've got some time on the weekend. And I'm not just trying to be mean or anything. I think Jazz Hands is very, very smart. But sometimes I think he's just wrong. And I think they did some deep dive on Russia a year or so ago. And I remember listening to that. And I think it's kind of a purity spiral because there is a Jewish oligarch that is still close to Putin. Well, when Putin came in, you had like these 16 big oligarchs who controlled a huge hunk of the economy. 13 of the 16 were Jews. And some of them wound up going into exile. Some of them went into prison. And others made their peace with Putin. And Putinism was basically, if they got their fortunes through legal means, even if the laws were corrupt, but they got them through legal means, they could keep their fiefdoms, but they couldn't interfere with politics. So he had some clear lines drawn. And you could say, oh, well, there are still Jewish oligarchs there who were important. And but if you look at where they were and then where they've come, you know, where they were and where they are now, and then compare it to what's going on in other countries. I mean, Russia's not being overrun by immigrants. They have their own native Muslims, but they're not being overrun by immigrants. They have native Muslims, and that's because the czars had taken over a lot of Muslim lands. That's why they have them, not because they're immigrating in now. And another, this isn't necessarily Jazz Hands, but Adam Green had made a big video about Russia is run by Chabad Lubavitch because the Russian state had provided Chabad Lubavitch with a grant to build some big building. Well, usually, I mean, if you want to say that America, like Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, is controlled by Jews because Jews give him a lot of money. Usually it's the person who pays the piper calls the tune. If Chabad Lubavitch receives a building, does that prove that they run things? I thought, you know, is that control? The Jews are a big force in world affairs. They're a huge force, and you can't just ignore that. And you can't have just a full frontal attack, like perhaps you might say the guy with the mustache had, because that didn't work in the end.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's totally true. Like I said, if Russia ever rolls over and just lets Assad be taken out, maybe I'll entertain that. But until then, I mean, that's my stance. And the thought of there's one country left that's not completely and totally run down by the Jews, that's kind of a comforting thought. And I'm not hanging on to that for comfort. I'm using empirical data to make that decision. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yep. Okay. I know you've got some other prep. Is there anything else you want to go to?
Yeah. So, you know, we got off on a little tangent there, but speaking of the... go ahead. Speaking of the relations... foreign relations, we were mentioning this on In Plain Sight last night under War Pigs of the Power. American Israeli jets flying aggressive missions over Iran. I mean, what's going on here? This is from a Stormer article that I sent you. Israeli jets lead American jets in aggressive flyover of Iran. And of course, Iran being one of Russia's big allies. I'll read Andrew's comments here before we go to the RT article. Did people just think it was a coincidence that Joe Biden appointed an aggressive Zionist Jew as the head of his State Department? How can anyone on earth continue to claim that U.S. foreign policy is not controlled by Jews? The U.S. military is literally an arm of the IDF. And he quotes in a Russian Today article, two American B-52 bombers have performed a strategic flyby accompanied by Israeli fighter jets in a show of force pivotal to maintaining the security of Israeli and Middle Eastern skies. And that's according to the IDF. Israeli F-15 fighter jets escorted U.S. bombers during part of the trip through the country's airspace. The Israel Defense Forces confirmed in a tweet on Sunday. Oh, they're tweeting. Releasing some of the more rare photos and video of the drill. I want you to imagine, Patrick, if China and Japan were doing flyovers over American airspace.
Mm-hmm.
What would that tell us?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. And so that happened, what, in the past few days? What else is going over there? And this is from Haaretz. I believe I heard Mark Dankoff talking about this with Dr. Duke. You had an airstrike on a oil storage facility in Syria, but it was not controlled by the Syrian government. It was controlled by the United States and Turkey, and Trump, this was one of the stupidest things Trump would always talk about, you know, going into Iraq, and you got to take the oil, you got to take the oil. Well, this is what was going on in Syria. You have American forces and, other enemies of the Syrian government, and they occupy a little bit of northern Syria, but it's oil-producing facility, and they're stealing the oil. And it seems that Russia and Syria, this is the implication, that they took out this oil facility that was being used to steal Syrian oil and sending it to Turkey and Israel. And that happened, I believe, on the 6th, so about 3 days ago. Well, okay, it seems to have happened Friday night. Syrian opposition groups and at least one war monitor blamed Russia for the strike Friday night near the towns of Jarablus and Al-Bab, near the border with Turkey. So things are getting hot, and the lines are being drawn. And you also had, not too long ago, joint naval exercises in the Indian Ocean by Russia, China, and Iran. Dangerous.
Well, it looks like we're peering over the cliff of the abyss. Mm. The abyss being World War III.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Jewish-dominated elites want a World War III. So I'm not sure why they're pushing this angle so hard. Other than maybe they feel that they have power to bring Russia, Iran, Syria, and China into check, maybe financially. They feel that they're at that point.
So there are miscalculations in history. There are, what are the odds that 100 years ago or so, the various powers who got into World War One in July or June of 1914, how many of them were really thinking that they were playing brinksmanship? How many of them were really thought that's what they were getting into, was that kind of world war? And sure, there is this brinksmanship going on. We've done a lot of very dangerous brinksmanship over the years. You can think of the Cuban Missile Crisis for one, and there's been a lot of times where we're just like at the verge of a nuclear war and it gets averted, but every now and then things don't get averted. And so I think it's a very dangerous game, and I don't want to win a dangerous prize.
Yes, and the dangerous prize is not only dangerous for us, but for the elites. I mean, they want to maintain some semblance of civilization over the globe. I mean, how are they going to survive on their delicacies and on their wealth if the entire globe is in a nuclear fallout? It's just not going to happen. We're going to go Mad Max tier, where people are scraping just to survive. I don't think they want that. So yeah. the fact that they're bringing us to the brink of this and then stopping, or, you know, quick right turn, I don't know. Maybe what I'm pointing to, the point that I'm making, is that they feel that they have enough economic leverage, maybe with this economic reset that they talk about in Davos and in the World Economic Forum, that they feel that they can play these dangerous games, and at the last minute they can just collapse the American dollar and you know, go into a totally new currency and bring these countries to line.
Okay, well, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so you don't think the elite really wants World War III, and I don't either. But here's something. So they've got the bulk of the world in this completely irrational freakout mode about the corona apocalypse, and they've got people taking vaccines. I mean, huge numbers of people taking vaccines. So it would seem as if the elite has the world where they want it. And so then again, we're just revisiting. Does that make it easier to go to a large scale war, or does that make the large scale war a distraction and something not necessary for them because they're getting what they want anyway?
Well, what I'm going at is that these flyovers over Iran, the aggression towards Russia and China, these are things they're doing just as scare tactics, I guess terrorism on a global level, because they feel they have the control to reel it in anytime they want. And by reel it in, what I mean is just before a war, to avert a war, they could just collapse the economy on a global level. They think about China provides us with all kinds of goods and services, but they rely on our dollars, which are now totally inflated and pretty much worthless. I mean, the American dollar is done. They just don't, they haven't said it yet. And so what happens when they just tell, when they just collapse the dollar? How is China going to maintain their economy? That's one leverage point.
So it is. Of course, China is, I think they're less dependent on the United States economy now than they have been for any time in the past 30 years or so. It would be a hit for them if the American economy collapses, because they'd lose a big and a very important market. And of course, they have a lot of assets in dollars like U.S. treasuries, but also probably a lot of real estate and other things. But on the other hand, over the past 30 plus years, their domestic market has become much larger. They've got a big industrial base that they didn't have before. They've got real assets, real technology, real production facilities. And then they also have markets around the world. So it would be a blow to them and something that they would, they don't want the American economy to collapse, but they could probably weather it a lot better than we could weather our economy being collapsed.
And so if America did collapse, in which it is, it's going to, and we just assimilated into the European Union and that all became one big global power, I mean, who's going to trade with Russia and China? How much of the globe does America and Europe control? And that's the question I'm asking is that the leverage, is that what they're going for? Is just to collapse America into the United Nations. And then instead of Europe and America, now it's just one big conglomerate. And that could force Russia into China into coming on into the fold without a war.
Those are excellent points and excellent questions. We don't have time. We'll have to think about it and come back again next week.
All right. You stay classy, Patrick, as I know RBN will.
Oh, we've been very classy tonight. We've been very, very classy. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Vehicle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.